seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the book of Ruth, chapter 3, and the first verse. The book of Ruth, chapter 3, and verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? The book of Ruth, chapter 3, and verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? There's some wonderful lessons, beloved friends, in the sacred book of Ruth. For every true-born child of God, we find in the case of dear Naomi, she was a real mother in Israel. And at this time she was greatly burdened and concerned for Ruth, her daughter-in-law, because of all that both Naomi and to dear Ruth had had to pass through. In the great loss, Naomi of her husband and of her sons, and Ruth of her husband. But we find so beautifully set forth in the case of dear Ruth, how wonderfully the Lord was to work. First of all, in bringing her out of that idle, wicked country of Moab. It is very typical of the world today, really. And may the Lord in each of our dear young people and any that know not the Lord bring them out like he did Ruth. Let us remember he used solemn searching means. The second thing was this. The Lord wonderfully, in his divine providence and goodness to dear Ruth, brought her among his people, put her among the children of God. And what a mercy it is if you and I are found among his people. I believe if we truly fear the Lord and seek him, we shall be praying like the hymn writer, with them numbered may I be, now and through eternity. But then, with dear Ruth, there was a wonderful relationship between her and Naomi. You know, the Lord gives to his dear children that wonderful relationship between them and his dear people. Not only was there that natural relationship as her daughter-in-law, but there was far greater than that. They were one in the things of God. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. to have those we can walk together with. We are told solemnly in the Word of God, can two walk together except they be agreed. Well, you look at it in the case of Orpah and Naomi. They couldn't walk together because they couldn't agree. Why? Because Orpah, all she wanted was Moab and its gods. But look at the difference between Ruth and Naomi. They could walk together. They were bound together by love. Love to the Lord, love to his ways, love to his precepts, and love to each other. And it wasn't just natural. It was true spiritual love. And what does the Word of God tell us? We know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. You may not be able to lay claim to much, poor soul, today, but you can truly say this: I know that I love his people. It's a wonderful, really, sign of life in the sinner's heart. But not only that, they both had a great love to the Lord. Oh, they did. They love the Lord. The hymn writer said, and may it be the language of our heart, I love the Lord with mind and heart, his people and his ways. Envy and pride and lust depart, and all his works I prize. But then they could walk together. And you find they flowed together. I love that word in the prophecy of Jeremiah, where it speaks, and they flowed together in Jeremiah 31 to the goodness of the Lord. And if you look in the case of Ruth and Naomi, there was that sweet flowing together. Love flowed from heart to heart. And oh, it's sweet when we've got those we can flow together with, and the things of God and the ways of God. The same applied in the case of David and Jonathan. They truly flowed together. They could walk together in love one to the other in the vital things of God. Now, dear Naomi was so burdened and concerned for Ruth with all what she'd had to go through. And she desires in our text this: my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee? There's no doubt dear Naomi was so burdened because of all that Ruth had had to walk through in this great loss of her husband. There's no doubt in her there was no rest. Oh no. And what dear Naomi desired was that she might have a husband from now on and be at rest, away from all the toil of gleaning in the field, dwelling together in love with an husband. Shall I not seek rest for thee? Well, who is it that needs rest? It's those that are weary and heavy laden, and there's no doubt with dear Ruth there was much to wake her weary and heavy laden. And there may be why the Lord has given me this word to bring before you those that have come this morning, and there are those things that make you weary and you're heavy laden. Let me just remind you of what the Saviour said while he was here upon this earth. Those sacred words, and may the Holy Spirit seal them and apply them to each of our hearts. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. Why? And I will give you rest. You can't find any rest in this world, in the things that you're surrounded with, can you? The only place of rest is in the dear Redeemer. So the Lord knows how weary you may be. And there are various things that make us weary, aren't there? You take, looking at it naturally, first of all, you do a hard day's work of labour, whatever it may be in. It may be just mental labour. We think of one thinks of the time when I was in the office the last 10 years of work, and you know, there were some days where the poor mind was just tired out with all the responsibility and the workload and the labour. And then there were those times of physical labour. And you're weary, aren't you? And then you need rest, you see. And then you really appreciate your bed to lay in and bless the Lord for it, for rest. But think about it spiritually. Shall I not seek rest for thee? You know, those of us that are really exercised about souls and concerned about this one and that one, it may be in the family, it may be like with a pastor, and that really the burden of every soul is upon him. He seeks rest for them, or should do. Not any forced rest. Let's be very clear. You see, the professor of religion will say, well, you do this and do that and then you'll get rest. But you see, all our doings so often prove vain, don't they? The only place we can go for rest is to the dear Redeemer. And that's why he said, come unto me. The dear disciples couldn't give those weary souls rest. It was only he could. And we should pray for this, that there may be many have rest. But on a sure foundation. Well, of course, we hope to sing at the close that beautiful hymn on that sacred subject. You think of the dove when Noah sent her forth. What did she do? She circles all round and found no place of rest. Why? Because the waters were covering the earth and all there was water. No place she could settle in. The only place she could go for rest was in the ark. And you look how lovingly when she returns, Noah put his arm out and took her in. That's how the Lord deals with his dear children. He won't leave them to perish. Noah didn't leave that dove to perish in the waters, did he? He put forth his arm and took her in. But she found no place of rest. In the ark, the hymn writer said, the weary dove found a welcome resting place. Thus my spirit longs to prove, rest in Christ, the ark of grace. Ever go to him, poor soul, for that rest you need. I want to just pause a moment to firstly look at a few things that are making you weary, and then look at a few of the rest that he gives to his dear people. Blessed places that they can rest upon. Well, what is making you weary this morning? The Lord knows. You don't have to say anything, nor do I. He looks at the heart. He sees exactly how you're tossed around. There's no rest. Like the disciples in the sea. They were tossed. And there was a reason for it, wasn't there? You see, if you've got a real religion, poor soul, the devil won't let you have any rest. Here attack from all sides. The devil got in the sea. The disciples were doing exactly what the Lord commanded them. And they came into this great storm. Satan had got in the sea. The waves were high. The wind was severe. They feared for their lives. They had no rest. The sea couldn't help them. They couldn't help themselves, could they? The boat couldn't help them. But the Saviour came to them walking upon the sea. And gave the great calm. And there was rest, wasn't there? Rest in the sea. Rest from the wind. Rest in their souls. And rest in their minds. And it may be you're enduring much temptation of Satan. And when we're really tempted, you know, we haven't got any rest. It doesn't matter what you do or where you go, the adversary seems to attack. There seems no rest. And the Lord knows exactly how you feel in that. When the adversary comes in like a flood, what does he promise? The Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Why? To give the poor sinner a little rest from his onslaughts. You know, I would not speak any way lightly of Satan. He has great power. But the wonderful thing is the Lord has all power to put him down in a moment. But he's a real foe to the real child of God. I often quote that line of the hymn, don't we? Crafty is the foe and strong, Saviour, do not tarry long. Why? Because you need rest. Freeing from it, you see, his onslaughts. Sweet rest. But then, sin will so toss you around. Not somebody else's sin. It's easy to look at somebody else's sin. What about your own? What about mine? The hymn writer said, to see sin smart but slightly, to own with lip confession, is easier still, but oh, to feel cuts deep beyond expression. And when you feel the sin within, poor soul, you can't have any rest. You're tossed around. Lord, what shall we do? Shall we perish under these sins? You may try and mend your ways and try and put, make yourself better, but you seem to grow worse. And oh, how tossed around the poor sinner is before God because of those sins. Those secret sins of the heart. Sins that no man sees. And it's all inward. I sometimes feel, you know, when I come in this pulpit and up and down the land, if the people really knew the sin there is within one's own heart, and the feeling of it, I'd never enter into any pulpit. Why? Because of those sins. But you see, the wonderful thing is, there's mercy with the Lord. You think of the publican. You know, Mr. Frank Gosden, he said, friends, if you got a religion that's higher than the religion of the publican, you haven't got much that's real. He said, you know, really to come where he did and when he really pleaded that word, God be merciful to me, a sinner. It came right out of the depths of his heart. That's where the sin was. And that's where he needed rest and mercy. The Lord knows in your heart. You may look at a person sometimes and you may say, oh, but they're not tossed around by their sin like I am. You don't know what they feel within you. And you know, really, so often, when we're really feeling the guilt and sin within, we'll be quiet before men. We won't be looking at this one, oh, well, they've done so and so and something else wrong. Lord, it's my sin. Oh, it is. It's my sin. Lord, oh, do have mercy on me. I'm the guilty sinner. And you won't go any further than that. It'll be your own heart. And you'll be quiet before men. But you'll be speaking to the Lord. If you don't utter a word outwardly, there's that groaning within your soul. Pleading for mercy, pleading for pardon, pleading for all that sin to be removed. And you know, when the Lord removes it all, what is the effect? There'll be rest. You can rest. Rest in the arms of the Saviour. Rest under his precious blood. You think of those, those in Egypt when the destroying angel went forth. Children of Israel there in Egypt. The Lord was to send that destroying angel. There was only one place of rest and of safety, wasn't it? And that was sheltering under the blood on that lintel of the and the doorposts of those houses where they dwelt. There was their safety. We sing in the hymn, don't we? All my safety is in thee. Shall I not seek rest for thee? Is that your longing this morning? Like Naomi's was for Ruth. And oh, there are those I long for to see it in today. I know they are tossed around with sin and tossed around by Satan. Tossed around by unbelief. If the Lord were to come, and give them rest. Their soul would be free and at liberty. You may have wondered why we read together Isaiah 32. There's a beautiful word in it, and that's why we read it together. Verses 17 and 18, he says this, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever." And then this word, "And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in a sure dwelling place, and in quiet resting places." This is what he's promised for his dear people. And this is what the Lord was to give dear Ruth. He says, "And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, free from all the waves, free from all the winds, free from all the sin, free from all the onslaughts of Satan, and free from all the bondage." You see, sin brings bondage. It binds the sinner. And they're burdened and weighed down and heavy laden because of it. And especially under God's holy law. A sure dwelling place. You see that dove, just stepping back to the dove when she went back to the ark. She was in a sure dwelling place, she was. That ark was a beautiful type of the dear Redeemer, in a quiet resting place, a quiet resting place. You think of the sea when it rages, and then there's a calm, it's all quiet, no more waves, no more troubles, quietness. We read in Isaiah 30, don't we? In quietness and in confidence. And oh, may the Lord, shall ye be saved, and may the Lord grant it to each of us. "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee?" Then you may be, you're in trouble providentially. And oh, there seems no rest, does it? The hymn writer said, "Did ever trouble yet befall, and he refused to hear thy call?" And then in affliction, and the path of affliction, it makes you weary, doesn't it? You're weighed down, heavy laden, because of the affliction. You got no rest. Weary. And the Lord sees this. What is so wonderful about this, you see, the Lord sees it with every one of his dear people, exactly what is causing them this weariness and trouble and no rest. And he alone can give them that rest. And you think of dear Ruth in all what she'd been through, in coming out of into a strange land from Moab. There's no doubt there was many tossings in the dear soul's heart, but you see, the Lord was with her. And he was to give her rest. And she was to be married to Boaz. And the sinner that's brought into the reality of this text will know what it is to be, in God's time, married to the dear Redeemer. "I'm married to the Lord, the Lamb," the dear hymn writer said. And oh, may we know that in our souls. But let us look a little just briefly. I've hinted a few things. I may not have named the thing that's really causing you this weariness and heavy laden state. But the Lord knows, just as he knew with Ruth. How often you have to come, don't you? With the dear hymn writer and with those in the Word of God, where all we can say is, O Lord, thou knowest. And that's a wonderful mercy, he knows. He knew Job in all he was in. Think of that beautiful word where Job said, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And then it may be in your circumstance, it may be in the family, those things that make you weary. And you have to plead, Lord, do ease the burden, give me a little rest. Shall I not seek rest for thee? Well, before I name a few of the places that he'll give you rest, look in your heart and mine, is this our prayer for those around us? And like Ruth, Naomi had it for Ruth, my daughter. Look at her love to the dear soul, my daughter. She's speaking to her as if she was her own daughter, but she was her daughter-in-law. There was no blood relationship, only that she had married Naomi's son. There's a wonderful bond often, isn't there, between a dear mother and her daughter. It's a wonderful thing, that is. Shall I not seek rest for thee? And those of us, I hope, have got a few spiritual sons and daughters. This will be our desire. Shall I not seek rest for thee? That it may be well with thee. Well, let us look a little, just briefly, before I leave it, a few places where you get rest and where you can rest. First of all, as we have said, in the blessed arms of the Saviour. Oh, there's a wonderful resting place, resting in his arms. When thy eye of faith is dim, rest thou on Jesus, sink or swim. And he'll never leave the poor sinner to sink. Oh no, they rest in his arms. I've said before what Mr. Frank Gosden said, you know, when he had trouble after trouble, and he said to his dear wife, if I have one more trouble, he said, I feel it, I shall sink into despair. Well, he went to work that day, and when he came home, she said, well, my dear, we've got another trouble. He said, instead of sinking into despair, he said, I fell into the arms of the Saviour. Wonderful thing, you know, when you can fall in his arms. And those arms, remember, will never fail. They're never flagged, they never become weary. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And oh, to be resting in those arms, and I'll tell you what, poor soul, it'll be well with you for time and for eternity if you are. And so it will with me. You think when the hour of death comes, I thought with the funeral on Friday, you know, the hour of death comes, Oh, what a wonderful thing for the poor sinner to fall into the arms of Jesus for time and for eternity. There's a blessed resting place there. And then there's a wonderful resting place like Ruth was to be brought to it here in the chapter we read. And that is where she lay at the feet of Boaz. And you know, if we're at the feet of the dear Redeemer, it's a safe resting place. Do you think of Legion? How Satan tried to destroy him. But where did the Lord bring him? Into a blessed, safe resting place. He cast out the legion of devils. They all entered into the swine, and the 3,000, weren't there? And what happened? They all ran down into the sea and were choked. The devil destroyed those 3,000, but he couldn't destroy Legion. Why? Because the Lord was to bring him to his dear feet. Cast him out, cast the devils out of him, and there the dear man, where does he come? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Clothed and in his right mind. Safe, blessed place of rest. Boaz, she lays at Boaz's feet. Sacred spot, you know. I love that word which we read concerning her. She came softly and uncovered his feet. And laid her down. Beautiful resting place for the sinner at the feet of Jesus. There's no room for self. There's no room for anything of this world at his dear feet. The sinner's nothing and he's everything to them. But then, there's a blessed resting upon the sacred promises of God. The Lord may give you a promise, poor soul, concerning your soul and eternity. And you rest on that promise, don't you? It's a wonderful resting place on the promises of God. What he has said to you. I don't mean just what you've taken. Don't misunderstand. You know, if we just take a word, and there are those that do it. They take a word and suit it to themselves. What are they really? Thieves and robbers. They're stealing from the word. What I mean, and I say it reverently and rightly, is when the Holy Spirit breathes the word into the sinner's heart. It may be through the preaching of the word. It may be in as you read the sacred word. It may be he speaks it audibly from heaven to you. And the power and reality and sacredness of it you will never forget. And you can rest on it. It's a blessed resting place. Oh, it is. A man shall be as an hiding place. We read it, didn't we? From the wind. What do we read? The covert from the tempest. The shadow of a great rock in a weary land, as rivers of water in a dry place, and the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. But then there's a blessed rest in the gospel. Christ and him crucified. Resting in all his finished work. All that he accomplished at Calvary. What does the hymn writer say? If ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way, and there's no other way, child of God. He must be the way. And you can rest in him. Oh yes. But then there's a blessed resting in the sacred ordinances of his house. A sweet satisfaction in the sinner's heart. They've done as he has commanded them. Wonderful place, you know. To go through the sacred waters. Resting in his arms. In his finished work, all that he has done for you, and crown him Lord of all. And then I must leave it because the time's gone, but there's a wonderful resting place in glory for this soul. Oh yes, I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. Once in him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. Well, I've scratched the surface. May the Holy Spirit apply the text. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, claiming her as hers. My daughter, may the Lord speak it to you, speak it to me. My son, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?